by Mark Fleury, Ryan Grapel, the shortstop, Mike Cavassini, the center fielder, and Teron Robinson, the designated hitter, bats ninth. Defensively for Georgia Tech, it'll be Chris House in left field, Jeff Rowland in center, Luke Merton is in right, Matt Skoll, the freshman, is at third, Derek Dietrich at short, Jason Garofalo at second, Tony Plagman at first, and Cole Leonida from California will do, or from Colorado rather, will do the catching today of right-hander Kevin Jacob, who's 4-1 on the year with an ERA south of 3, Randy.
Well, Jacob is 6'6", 235, sophomore out of Parkville High School in Baltimore, Maryland. And Kevin Jacob is one of those guys who sort of earned his way up the roster a year ago. He pitched in 20 games, all in relief, a 4.5 ERA. No record for Kevin Jacob in his freshman year. This year started out as Tech's midweek starter. Picked up wins against Georgia Southern, Kennesaw State twice,
right.
Once in relief, both as starts, and then picked up a win against Virginia Tech in relief. And Brandon Compton got shut down, was unable to really throw on Sundays, partially due to rain, partially due to some arm problems, and Kevin Jacobs stepped up. He did not pitch that well at Miami last week. 3 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts, and 93 pitches thrown. But he is a Sunday starter now, and more expectations when you move into the weekend rotation, and we'll see how he reacts to it here against North Carolina.
All right, Ben Bunning will step in to lead things off for North Carolina. A.J. Lestaglio, Miami Beach, is the home plate umpire here today. First pitch from Jacob, a minute after the hour, in there for a strike.
Bunning 2-for-5 yesterday and 2-for-9 overall in the series for the leadoff man for North Carolina.
Here's Big Jacob, the over-the-top. He opens wide at the top of the wind and then just kind of comes unfolding from north to south,
right,
on you.
Bunch of arms and legs, and but you know where the ball's coming from. I mean, it's coming straight over the top.
1-1, lifted, shallow left field. House has an eye on it, and there's one away. So one down on the fly ball from Bunning. And here is Garrett Gore, whose average now is 285. He was 1-for-5 here on Friday night. And then yesterday, Gore hit a two-run homer in the first, ended up having a 3-RBI day and a 2-for-5 afternoon. First pitch, whoa, right off of Jacob. He'll collect, throw to Plagman, two away, and I hope Kevin Jacob's okay. A.J. Lestaglio on the trot to check out Kevin and make sure, and he says okay back to the Georgia Tech dugout on the third base side. And
well, you have to give A.J.
They step up and start counting ribs up there on Kevin Jacob.
I'm not sure exactly where that ball hit. It looked like it might have hit him in the upper body, maybe around the number there. I'm not sure. It got there so quickly. You have to give A.J. a little credit there. As soon as he saw the throw to first base, he was out to check on Kevin Jacob. And you see him now, a little bit of concern. He's asking Cole Leonida.
Yep.
Well, they say knock him down and throw him out, but I don't think that's what they meant. My goodness. A bullet.
And here's Ackley, Dustin Ackley at 400 now, 8 homers and 23 RBIs. 0-for-3 here on Friday night. Got a little more on track yesterday and picked up a hit.
Well, anytime you've held Ackley to 1-for-8 in 2 games, you've done some good stuff, and there's a base hit to right.
Yep, we talk enough about him, and he pops one through the right side of the infield, splitting Plagman and Garofalo. So a 2-out single for Dustin Ackley, draft-eligible junior from Walnut Cove, North Carolina, who set this sport on fire 2 years ago.
Well, he's hit 400 for 3 years. I mean, not much else needs to be said about a player. And
yep.
A lot of folks consider him, Wes, even though he's already gotten a base hit, and we're talking about him in the aftermath, but
right.
He's a guy that a lot of people consider the best hitter in college baseball.
Here's Levi Michael at 314 on the year. Home run here on Friday night, and he'll take a fastball low from Kevin Jacob.
Spoken a lot about it, but here's a guy that's really a high school senior hitting cleanup.
Yeah, he ought to have been going to the prom last night.
He might have wished he did in that game.
Yep. The 1-0 chopped right back out to the mound. Jacob off the high hop throws to Plagman, and, boy, Tony did a good job coming to the baseline side and right there in front of the first base coaching box to make a backhand catch and retire North Carolina. No runs a hit, no errors, and one left. We go to the bottom of the first. The Jackets will bat for the first time. We continue. This is Georgia Tech Baseball on ISP Sports and 790 The Zone.
Four?
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 Four? Under $4?
Every day, Steak and Shake restaurants have four meals under $4. The Triple Steak Burger, Single Steak Burger with Bacon and Cheese, Chicken Fingers, and the Original Steak and Shake Double Steak Burger with Cheese. All come with Steak and Shake's famous shoestring fries and all for under $4. Every day. For cook-to-order meals at an everyday affordable price, just remember.
Four?
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 Four? Under $4?
And head to Steak and Shake. Enter the Steak and Shake Fat Boy Sweepstakes for a chance to win a Harley Davidson Fat Boy and tickets to the Summit Racing Equipment National Hot Rod Association Southern Nationals April 16th through the 19th at the Atlanta Dragway. Text Fat Boy 6 to 38714 or visit Steak and Shake to enter and see official rules. No purchase or text message necessary. Standard text messaging rates may apply with your carrier. Open only to legal residents of Georgia 18 and older. Text Fat Boy 6 to 38714 to enter now.
790 The Zone. We know what guys want.
No score. We go to the bottom of the first. Georgia Tech's lineup for the Jackets. 19-5 on the year and 9-3 in the ACC. Jeff Rowland leads off in center. Derek Dietrich at shortstop, followed by Haniger. Jason Haniger, the Grand Slam walk-off hero yesterday. The designated hitter today. Tony Plagman bats fourth and plays first. Luke Merton, Matt Skull, Jason Garofalo. Cole Leonida catches and hits eighth. And Chris House in left field will bat ninth. And North Carolina defensively, Bunning, Cavicini, and Gore go left to right. Kyle Seeger, Ryan Grapel, Levi Michael, Dustin Ackley, third to first, and Mark Fleury from Pope High School in Marietta will do the catching of right-hander Matt Harvey with a 4-1 mark. Randy?
Well, Matt Harvey, of course, has got a lot of plaudits for his pitching efforts over the years. In high school, third round pick by the Angels of Anaheim in the 2007 Major League Draft. And like a lot of other North Carolina pitchers that have been there, Josh Bard, Andrew Miller, Daniel Bard, Andrew Miller, and, yeah, of course, Alec White this year. They've had one of the top pitchers in college baseball for the last 3 or 4 years. Harvey was 7-2 in 19 appearances, started 16 games a year ago. Numbers not quite as good this year. Been in 9 games, started 5, 27 innings pitched, 37 strikeouts, 4-1, and a 5.67 ERA. He's 6'4", 225, and he'll face Jeff Rowland here.
Rowland will stand in. Carolina got a hit, a 2-out single from Ackley, couldn't do anything with it. First pitch from Harvey, fastball up and out. And I am not going to go a half inning until I get your thoughts on the gold batting helmets.
Can't say it publicly.
The 1-0. You know, a few years ago, what was it, 2 years ago at Turner Field, they wore the spaceship helmets? What in the world has happened there?
I don't know. Looked like race car drivers or something. I can't get into it.
1-1. Rowland lifts it over the top of the shortstop, Grapel. Well, they got hits in them.
Yep. At least one.
Leadoff single for Rowland.
I don't know that gold helmets are going to help you hit better or worse, but
the Bat Boys wearing the spaceship helmet from a couple of years ago.
I guess so.
And here's Dietrich.
I hope it's the only one left.
The spaceship helmet,
yeah.
You mean? Yeah, I hope so too. That's the predominantly white helmet with the gold striping on it that lasted one game.
Well, here's Derek Dietrich.
Yep.
Rowland was a very much a fixture in that game victory yesterday. He had the base hit that put Tech one short. He also had a bunt in the 11th that kept the rally going, pushed it by Colin Bates. He's over at first now and, of course, had a leadoff homer as well.
There's a fastball strike.
Well, Dietrich, I mean, they've thrown Dietrich out away from him the entire weekend. Yesterday, he got smart and started going to left field and picked up 3 hits over there.
Yep. 0-1 to Dietrich. Sophomore in at 352. 4 home runs. The pitch. Derek swings, fouls it back, and he's in a hole 0-2.
The hits count on both sides of the field. You don't have to pull everything to be successful. But if they're throwing you out there, you just really don't have much opportunity to get into a ball. They make a mistake and come in. But Dietrich had I believe, three singles yesterday, all to the left side of the infield.
Roland has seven steals at first base. And the pitch. Dietrich fouled that away, still 0-2.
Derek Dietrich, a little bit on the rise now, has tied Luke Merton for average at 352, four homers and 23 RBIs. Not quite the power of a year ago, but if they're going to pitch you away, it's hard to hit the ball out of the park.
Yep. 0-2 with Roland at first. No score in the first. They'll throw back over, and Jeff's in safely.
Roland doesn't get a huge lead. He just gets just enough to where he can make a good start. He's a good base runner.
0-2 to Dietrich. The pitch, runner goes. Ball one, the throw down, he's safe. The throw from Fleury was on the near side at second. Roland was way behind it and ahead of the throw. Stolen base number 8 for Jeff Roland.
You know, it appeared to be a pitch out in some respects, Wes, but the ball just didn't have anything on it. The throw to the plate was not the normal velocity of Matt Harvey. So Roland got the steal easily. Dietrich now would love to get him over with a ground to the right side, but they don't throw enough balls in there for him to do it.
1-2, the pitch. Derek takes, called strike three from A.J. Lastaglia.
It was a breaking ball right on the inner half of the plate. Derek was obviously fooled, and so he'll sit down, first strikeout.
And that'll bring Haniger, 3-0-3, third home run and 21 RBIs. Yesterday,
Tech has struck out entirely too much in this two-game series. 10 on Friday night, understandable with Alex White.
There's a fastball low and away.
14 times yesterday in 11 innings.
And live to tell about it.
Right.
1-0 to Haniger. One out, runner at second. Hits are even. Haniger waits. Harvey's pitch. Jason chopped it foul at the plate, and it'll be 1-1.
Jason a little bit out front on that pitch, and it was a breaking ball. It stayed on the outside part of the plate.
1-for-6 here yesterday, but, ooh.
It was a big one.
It was a good one. You're only going to hit one of them. Make sure it's a grand slam, right?
Right. Haniger overall on the weekend, only 2 out of 10, but has driven in 5 runs.
The 1-1, and Harvey will step off. Roland back to second. And we are in the bottom of the first of a nothing-nothing game. One ball, one strike, and one out. The pitch to Haniger. Fastball overthrown into the left-hand batter's box, low and away, 2-1.
Tech now has 6 guys in the 20s with RBIs, Haniger being one of those with 21. Plagman leads the team with 31.
Right.
And he's next.
2-1 to Haniger. Rolling out at second. And time taken by Jason Haniger.
I was a little surprised that he got time then. He stepped out right as he was about to throw. He must have asked for it earlier. I'm always a little afraid to step out with 2 strikes. I'm afraid they wouldn't give it to me.
There's a ball to right. Long run for Gore. Having to hurry and a diving catch. Couldn't come up with it. And Rolling will get on to third. And it's first and third, one out. What a great effort by Gore. Doesn't have anything to show for it. But it'll be first and third and one out, and here's Plagman.
I'm a little surprised that ball dropped in there. It was high enough, and he did have a long way. They've played all the Tech hitters in the right center field, giving them right field line all weekend, especially the left-handers. But he had a long run for it, Wes, but it looked like he was going to make it and had to dive at the last minute, couldn't come up with it. Runners at the corners. Tech with a chance to get on top. Here's Tony Plagman, who struggled this weekend.
Yep, Tony Plagman now down to 337, still with 7 home runs. The pitch looped it foul into the grandstand on the third base side. So 0-1 to Plagman.
Looking for his first base hit of the weekend. Plagman is 0-for-7. He has walked twice.
Junior from Alpharetta. As runners first and third, one out. Tech with a chance here in their half of the first. Plagman on the ground, down the line at third, and it's fair. Past Seeger, that'll score Roland. Around the third goes Haniger, and it's a double and an RBI for Tony Plagman, his 32nd of the year.
Just inside the bag. You don't expect a left-hand hitter to hit a ball like that down the line, but Seager really didn't have much of an opportunity. You say, can he dive for it, keep it in play? I don't think so in that case.
So an RBI double from Plagman brings Merton to the plate. 352 on the year, five homers and 22 RBIs for Luke. And Scott Forbes, the associate head coach who handles pitchers for Mike Fox, out for a visit.
And he would be facing here arguably the hottest hitter in the Tech lineup. Merton has five home runs in his last five games. And he has really been on a tear, hitting the ball solidly. He was 3-for-5 with three RBIs and two homers yesterday. Nothing for three on Friday.
Haniger at third, Plagman at second, Merton waits. Fastball low and away to Merton. They'll take it easy with him. The water's running hot with Luke right now.
My Tech would love to see a ground ball toward the middle or a fly ball to the outfield to get that run home. Merton's usually a dead pull hitter.
The pitch. Fastball away, 2-0.
And you see, Harvey, I think he's being just a little bit careful here, trying to keep the ball away from Merton. One home run to dead center field yesterday, early in the ball game, and then another late that landed somewhere on the football field down the left field line.
2-0's away, 3-0. Oh, a strike?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, 2-1.
You can't anticipate these umpires this weekend.
Nope. Two balls and a strike to Mert. The pitch. Way out that time, 3-1.
Merton's got to look for a pitch in a box here. You don't want to swing at anything out of the strike zone, but if you get your pitch, certainly looking fastball here. Harvey has not thrown, to my knowledge, a breaking ball yet.
3-1. Overthrows the fastball, ball four. So they're loaded now for Skoll.
Well, if you think about that move, you don't want to put a right, the base is loaded, but Skoll has struggled this weekend, without a doubt.
Yep.
Merton has been hot, so they were pitching very, very carefully to the freshman, to the senior Matt Skoll, Luke Merton, to bring up the freshman Matt Skoll. I'll get it right if I keep thinking about
Skoll it. Skoll 0 for 2 here yesterday, 1 for 4 on Friday. Base is loaded for the rookie. The pitch, fastball up, 1-0.
Say be patient. Try to get your pitch when you're in a slump. But when you're in a slump, you want to be more aggressive.
Jackets already with a run in. The pitch. Inside, 2-0. Haniger at third. Plagman at second. Merton at first. Freshman Matt Skoll in the count ahead, 2-0.
Pitch you've been waiting on for a long time here. When you're in a slump, it was 2-0s.
The pitch takes a strike, 2-1.
Pretty good pitch by Harvey. Down and away from the left-hand hitter. I don't think he could have done too much with it unless he drilled it into left center.
Garofalo is next. 1-0 Georgia Tech. The pitch. Swing and a miss on a fastball there.
Probably the best juice he's thrown. Humped up a little bit on Skoll and threw it by him. Strikeout would be very important here for North Carolina.
2-2. Harvey looks in, checks the runners, winds and fires. Skoll chops on it, and it is a foul ball.
Nice play by the third baseman.
Boy, you're not kidding. Seager backhanded the ball. You don't ever want to wait on the umpire's call. Go ahead and play it like it's live when it's that close. And
he threw it to the plate, Wes, which is interesting because he really probably couldn't have thrown anybody out anywhere else. He couldn't have thrown it to first, I don't think,
right
from there. He was almost in the stands when he caught it.
Tell you what, it's a heck of an effort by Seager.
Yeah.
If it's called fair, it's a pretty close play at the plate, don't you think?
So. Right, it's a force out, so you don't. Well, anyway, we wind them up again here.
Yep, here's the 2-2. Skoll will fist that. It's got a chance to drop. Gore coming on, won't get there. 2-0 Georgia Tech. Here comes Haniger to the plate. It's 3-0.
You might ask, why did Haniger not get here earlier? He had to wait to make sure the ball was caught or not caught. So it's a bloop for Skoll. Sometimes that'll get you out of the doldrums.
Plagman goes to third, Merton to second. Skoll aboard with the RBI, Randy, which will be his 26th of the year.
Right. So Tech off to a good start here. A couple of balls have dropped in the outfield, Wes, and that's what it takes sometimes. Nothing's really been hammered here in this game at all off of Harvey.
The momentum factor from yesterday, you wonder how that factors into the next day. And, you know, the Jackets got a couple of things. Jacob took one off the ribs, and then they were able to keep Ackley kind of contained a little bit on the two-out single. And now all of a sudden they've tied four hits together here in the first with one out, and Garofalo takes a ball up and out. It's interesting because of the way yesterday ended.
Yep, I agree.
Three in the ninth, ties the game. You get to the 11th. Bates, your closer, is a guy who you're expecting to really be able to kind of get you out of it. And, you know, controversy reigns all over the place. You get the grand slam. Team who essentially was left for dead in the road wins the game, and now the momentum's here in the first and leading 2-0. Garofalo misses on a fastball there, 1-1.
Garofalo's knocked the buttons off his shirt on that one. He was going for the downs behind. Harvey had to come in. North Carolina back, trying to get the double play ball to get out of this inning.
The 1-1 to Garofalo. Fastball out. 2-1.
Jason sort of won the job at second base for the moment.
Patrick Johnson going to the bullpen for North Carolina. Two balls and a strike to Jason Garofalo. 3-1 to Garofalo. All right, Randy.
A little bit of a free swinger. Garofalo's a little bit of a free swinger. He doesn't walk very often. And he'll be looking on a 3-1 pitch here.
And the 3-1. Ball four. A third run is walked in. Second walk issued by Harvey.
15 RBIs now for Jason Garofalo in 34 official at-bats. Pretty good.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
That math works good in the banking business, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's about the only math that works in the banking business these days.
Here's Cole Leonida, who starts for the ninth time this year. Two home runs, five RBIs, hitting .321 in a backup role at catcher. And looks at a fastball at the letters, 0-1. So Patrick Johnson goes to work, the right-handed sophomore from Conover, North Carolina. 0-1 it is to Leonida with one out. Again, away from Harvey, 1-1. Merton is at third, Skoll at second, Garofalo at first.
Leonida has a lot of power. The wind is blowing out to center field.
Breaking ball,
Ooh.
Strike, and it's a good one.
It was a good one. I don't think he's thrown a breaking ball for a strike until then. Maybe got Dietrich. Might have thrown one to Dietrich.
One ball, two strikes, one out. Bases loaded to Leonida. Missed, and it's 2-2. It's a good fastball, too.
Fastball up and out. Looking over in the dugout, and you can tell that there's a little bit of discussion about where those pitches are, but they're not in the strike zone, and Fleury acknowledged that.
Two balls, two strikes, and now Leonida asks for time.
Cole Leonida's been pretty productive. He's hitting .321. He's caught 11 games, started 8.
2-2. Fastball away, full to Leonida.
Now he's got to come in. Got ahead of him 1-2, and now he's tried to nibble on the corner. Might have been maybe better off to come back and challenge him a little bit with that breaking ball again.
In the first, Georgia Tech 3, North Carolina nothing. One out, bases loaded for the Jackets, Leonida. Fouled away along the first base side and into the grandstand. Bounces around. We had a great crowd here yesterday. 4,198, largest single-game ACC crowd ever.
Taken in by Dan Perez, Marist coach.
Aha.
Tech graduate.
One of his pupils over there at first in Garofalo.
He didn't even have to move either. Just sit there and let it bounce to you.
Three balls, two strikes. One out in the first. Bases loaded. Swing and a miss. What a breaking ball from Harvey.
And a very good two-strike pitch over the plate. Leonida couldn't catch up to it. And it'll take a two-out hit from Chris House. to keep it going. I think Ouse was the unsung hero in yesterday's game.
Right.
He got he came in a late roll, had a single, then had a walk in the ninth inning, a key walk, and then had a hit to lead off the 11th. And so came off the bench, did his job, and gets a start today.
Ninth got a bat in the inning, and he takes a strike 0-1.
Tech's been fortunate to get three here. Hadn't really hit the ball that hard. But then again, you don't want to leave three out there.
0-1 to Marietta's Chris House. That's low. One ball, one strike.
You see the breaking ball now from Harvey starting to be used much more frequently than it was early in the ball game.
You think, Randy, because of the he hadn't been able to command his fastball
as much? He hadn't been able to throw it where he wants to.
1-1.
And you see it there again.
2-1. Yep.
It's sort of like he's trying to spot it on the outside corner and just can't get it there. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back with a breaking ball here. Bases loaded, two outs in the first for Tech.
The 2-1 away, 3-1.
I think the last, three, four breaking balls have gone for strikes, and the fastballs have all been out of the strike zone.
You're right. He might go breaking ball here. 3-1. Got a strike called on the outside edge. Nice job by the catcher, Mark Fleury.
That's a good pitch.
Yep.
Now House has to wonder if he's going to come back with a 3-2 breaking ball that got Leonida, or whether he's just going to try to pump it past him. All the runners will be going. That'll be an advantage for Tech with Skoll out at second. He could score on a base hit here where maybe not otherwise.
They're going. Called strike three on House.
Good pitch right on the corner.
Yep. Fastball on the edge from Harvey. North Carolina allows three runs on four hits, no errors, and the bases were left full. One complete. Jackets three, Tar Heels nothing. This is Georgia Tech Baseball from ISP Sports on 790 The Zone.
So you call yourself a fan?
Yep.
You got season tickets?
Oh, yeah.
Do you call in sick after a loss? Did you name your firstborn after the star player?
Yeah.
You got AT&T?
What? How will AT&T make me a better fan?
AT&T is the network with the best coverage worldwide, so you can stay connected to your favorite team whether you're home or away.
Ooh, does AT&T have phones that look like those bobble-headed players?
Don't go overboard. You're still a grown man.
The most phones that work in the most countries. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
So you call yourself a fan?
Yep.
You got season tickets?
Oh, yeah.
Do you call in sick after a loss? Did you name your firstborn after the star player?
Yeah.
You got AT&T?
What? How will AT&T make me a better fan?
AT&T is the network with the best coverage worldwide, so you can stay connected to your favorite team whether you're home or away.
Ooh, does AT&T have phones that look like those bobble-headed players?
Don't go overboard. You're still a grown man.
The most phones that work in the most countries. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
790 The Zone. We know what guys want.
We go to the second. 3-0 Georgia Tech. The Jackets four hits. They leave the bases loaded against Matt Harvey, but they do scratch three times against the Tar Heel starter. Now Kevin Jacob with a little working room as we go to the second. And Kyle Seager, the third baseman, will lead things off to be followed by Mark Fleury and Ryan Grapel.
Seager, 362, stands in. North Carolina, like Georgia Tech, sports a lot of left-hand hitters.
Pitches away, ball one. We're going to have to be pocket meteorologists again here today. We've done that from time to time on these radio visits. Overcast skies, and oh my goodness, they were mid-afternoon showers. That ball driven to center, rolling on the way back. It's off the top of the wall, bounces around on the track. Seager's going to stop with the double. And for Kyle Seager, it'll be his 12th double of the year. And North Carolina's got something going here in the top of the second. Leadoff double by Seager.
Hit it right on the button. I didn't think it was going out, but I thought Roland might have a shot at it. But as it turned out, he had no chance as it banged off the wall out there. Leadoff double, North Carolina. Needs to make a little noise after that first inning. I think, you know, you get in a position where you want to make sure that you stay in a ball game early.
Yep.
And they have stayed in it by just limiting Tech to three. There's a curve.
Ooh, strike. And a good-looking pitch from Kevin Jacob. We're going to employ Miller Pope, our engineer producer, to be our pocket meteorologist here today, Randy.
He's got the Weather Channel up over here. It's like a mess to me coming this way.
Well, good.
That's just hope it don't come fast.
That's right. Slow down. Hit the weather shell. Breaking ball just misses. 1-1.
Jacobs has had good control. He's thrown 10 pitches so far, 7 for strikes. You might almost say, well, that might be a little bit too good. Got out of the first inning with only a harmless single, but Seager led with a double here. Fleury wants to pull that ball to the right side, try to get him over.
That ball's on the ground to Dietrich. He'll backhand it, make sure the runner holds. Throw on to Plagman, and he can't scoop it. They'll throw back down, and Garofalo put a tag on Seager, who was leaning a little, but Tony Maynard says he's safe. So it's an error on Dietrich. So a double and now an error, and Carolina's got first and second, and here's Ryan Grapel.
That turned out sort of different than I thought. Trying to hit behind the runner, maybe to get him over to third. He hit it right at Dietrich. Dietrich made a nice play to his right to backhand it, but he just short-armed it over to first. Plagman couldn't pick it up. He comes up with a lot of balls like that, but didn't this time. But Dietrich had plenty of time. He just didn't throw it good.
Yep.
Now here's Grapel, 252. One home run, 17 RBIs. Jacob now in a little bit of a jam. Maybe not too much of his own doing at the moment.
3-0 Georgia Tech. We're in the second at Russ Chandler Stadium. Jacob over the top, low and away.
Not quite as good a crowd as the last 2 days, but a lot of late arrivals on Sunday. We're not sure exactly what we'll have today, but pretty good crowd. Appears to be about half what we had yesterday.
1-0 to Grapel.
Tech back in the middle, looking for the double play ball. No bunt.
That ball to right. Merton will have to come on. Can't get there, and it bounces by him. Well, Carolina will score with Seager. Real good chance. Merton lost it again. Now they'll make a throw in. It's a two-run, I want to say double with an error, to maybe go to third. We'll wait and see how they score. Might be a triple off the bat of Grapel.
I think it's a single and an error myself. I mean, he got in between the ball. You either got to come and catch that ball, or you got to play it on a hop, and he got right in between. It didn't work. I'm going to go with a base hit, an RBI, and an error. But we'll see. We'll see how they score it.
And here comes Cavicini for the first time, and he's arguably been one of Carolina's most effective guys at the plate.
Right.
3-2 now, the Tar Heels with the runner at third, a little bunt back to the box. Jacob will back up, field, and throw to first, and there's one away.
Well, that was strange. It was obviously – he obviously bunted without knowledge of anybody knowing that he was going to bunt.
Single E9 is the scoring of the play off the bat of Grapel. Then Cavicini back to the mound, 1-3. And here is Teron Robinson. Both runs unearned, no RBI. Breaking ball misses, 1-0 to Teron Robinson. Designated hitter from Chapel Hill. A home run, 5 RBIs, and this is his 31st at bat. His 7th start of the year. He had a huge double here on Friday night. The 1-0. Lifted down the line and foul on the third base side.
Did they give Grapel an RBI on that play?
They did not.
They did not?
No, both runs unearned.
Well, I thought the runner from second would have scored on the play regardless. I'd file a complaint if I was a hitter on that one.
One ball, one strike to Teron Robinson. One out in the second, 3-2. Georgia Tech, that's in the dirt.
Nice block.
Yep. Real quick, JR around the league. Florida State 1, Miami nothing in the first at A-Rod Park. Clemson Duke are 1-1. Virginia 2, Maryland nothing in the second. BC 2, NC State nothing in the second. Virginia Tech 2, Wake nothing in the second.
Most of those games are rubber matches.
That's right.
I think the only one that 2 up, isn't Wake 2 up on Virginia Tech?
I think that's right. Breaking ball from Jacob gets Teron Robinson. I know the Deacons won yesterday, and pretty sure they won
Friday. They did. They are 2-0 this weekend.
Yep, they won 11-4, and then that 15-11 game yesterday, which was out of control. 2-2 to Robinson. Did he go? He did not. Thought about it on a fastball from Jacob.
Oh, brother. We'll get everybody mad again already.
Jack Cox.
From this angle, it looked like he went. Yep. But obviously, from the third base angle, not.
Jack Cox at third, who was the point of consternation yesterday several times. That ball up the chimney back this way. Leonida off with the gear, but
Robinson trying to avoid the strikeout and put the ball in play to get this game tied. Kevin Jacobs, of course, would like a pop or a ground ball back to the mound or anything. Strikeout would be his preference.
That ball lifted foul back.
Teron Robinson came in, got that base hit late in the ball game that really was the difference, I think, in game one, and has stepped into the designated hitter roles. Looked pretty good up there to me.
Three balls, two strikes. One out. We're in the bottom of the top of the second. Carolina's gotten two back, and there's a walk to Robinson. First walk of the day by Kevin Jacob. No strikeouts so far for the youngster from Baltimore.
Well, the pace of this game, the way it's going, the weather better slow down.
Slow down a lot.
We're in trouble yet, Miller? No, but we're 35 minutes in here, and we're still in the top of the second. Earn our money today.
You're trying to speed it up now, aren't you?
No, not really.
Usually when you say the game's moving slow, it starts getting fast.
Bunting at 350, skied out the house his last trip.
One out in the pitch to center. Here comes Roland. Will he get there? Will not. And the score will come. Grapel will score standing. It's 3-3. And a soft wedge by Bunting to left center has tied the game. Ben Bunting has played well here this weekend.
Well, there's been a lot of these bloops that have been falling in here since from about the ninth inning on yesterday. A lot of hits just barely in front of the outfielders or opposite field. Bunning's 21st RBI. We are tied at three in a game. Frankly, looked like Georgia Tech might run off and hide in the first inning with three runs. Had the bases loaded. Couldn't get more. Now North Carolina with the better hitters coming up, Gore and Ackley.
Yep. Now they're earned. The runs are, they're saying. So the complaint was filed and overturned.
I don't know.
3-3 in the second with one out in the pitch. Breaking ball in the dirt. Leonida out in front.
Remember, we're in the Sunday afternoon game, which is the third game of a three-game series here. Both teams are on their number three pitchers. Both teams have used bullpen pretty extensively in the first two games, and you've not seen anybody warm up in either pen so far. Maybe Carolina might have sent somebody down there, but I never saw them get up in the first inning. So we'll see what happens.
That ball's low, 2-0.
That's going to wake them up. That's going to get the bullpen stirring right there. You got to throw strikes. Ackley is next. That looks like Thomas Nichols stirring around. He's a little bit of a position player in every respect. He's going to pitch a little bit or throw a little bit. Deck McGuire is going to go down and guard. Two balls, no strikes.
2-0. Fastball strike, 2-1. Thomas Nichols and Patrick Long.
Yeah, earning their scholarships.
Do everything but line the infield. And if given the chance, might do that.
Yep. Gore's a good hitter. He's looking at a 2-1.
Rolled foul up the third base side. Braves play the Phillies tonight?
Right. Baseball starts officially, Major League style, tonight in Philadelphia. I remember last year, Philadelphia just owned the Atlanta Braves. If I remember, the series was 14-4.
Yep.
Yeah, and they didn't they didn't even sniff in Atlanta. The Braves didn't win any games here, I don't think. So
Derek Lowe goes for the hometown team tonight.
Right. Two balls, two strikes.
And the pitch chopped, and that'll find a hole between short and third. Robinson will turn. He runs well and scores to give Carolina the lead at 4-3. Teron Robinson turned at third, Randy, and popped it into another gear going down the line.
House made a pretty good throw to the plate. It short hopped Leonida. If it had got there in the air, we'd have had a bang-bang play at the plate. Typically, the outfielders won't throw it there all the way in the air. Here comes Tom Kinkelar as Thomas Nichols starts throwing in the Georgia Tech bullpen.
Yep. So Carolina has answered the four-run or the three-run first by Georgia Tech with four of their own and have taken the lead for the first time today.
Fairness to Kevin Jacobs. I mean, Carolina's he hadn't got as much support as you might think. Seager's double was certainly legitimate, as was Grapel's single to right, but the error on Dietrich and the error on Merton, you know, sort of opened the gates here a little bit for North Carolina.
Right.
That is one, two, three, four hits in the inning. So we've got, looks like we're going to have an offensive game here, at least through an inning and a third.
You're right.
It's not over for Carolina. You got Ackley up there now. They could really lengthen this game with Ackley hitting.
You bet. First and second, one out. And here is Dustin Ackley.
Base hit his last time on a roller to right.
Jacob from the stretch and for a strike, 0-1. Carolina, looking ahead here, gets a midweek game with Richmond on Wednesday. And trying to see, I think that's their only game coming up this week. 0-1, Georgia Tech gets a midweek game with Georgia Southern Tuesday night, 6 o'clock.
And Wednesday.
Then Wednesday afternoon, 4 p.m. Rodney Hennon brings the crowd in from Eagle Creek.
Georgia Southern's having a nice year. They split with Georgia Tech down in Statesboro earlier this season.
Yep.
And in the moment, Kevin Jacobs is trying to find the plate. Neither starter, really, in my mind, has been very effective so far. Jacobs had an easy first inning. Neither one of them really had what I call sharpness and command of their pitches, finding the strike zone when they want to.
One ball, one strike, one out to Ackley. He is the eighth guy to bat in the inning. Breaking ball in for a strike, 1-2.
Good overhand breaking ball from Jacobs. Ackley took it all the way.
Kevin Jacob at 4-1 on the year. Matt Harvey also 4-1. One ball, two strikes.
Leading hitter in North Carolina history is Ackley with a 409 career average. Mm. Some folks thought he might be a center fielder at some point, but he had Tommy John surgery on his right elbow. First base is where he's landed. Who knows where he'll play in the future? Had a dad that played in the Red Sox organization.
Wow. That ball to left. House going back, looking up, and watches it go. Home run. Three-run shot for Dustin Ackley, and it's 7-3 North Carolina. And for Ackley, his ninth home run of the year. RBIs 24, 25, and 26, and his second hit today.
Well, that one wasn't much doubt. Chris House took about two steps and said, see ya. So North Carolina, who, you know, weird baseball. I mean, Tech had them on the ropes, I thought, in the first inning. Couldn't get the big hit with one out and the bases loaded. People are moving. Why are they doing that? Is it raining? Surely not. Why are these people moving around here?
Sun.
Oh, the sun came out. Well, I didn't know that was make you move. Right, here's Levi Michael. Takes a pitch inside. He bounced back to the mound. Seven runs now.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. All of a sudden, folks started moving. Yep.
One out for Levi Michael in for a strike, 1-1.
Notice little things like that. There goes another pitcher to the bullpen. 37, who's that?
Jed Bradley.
Jed Bradley, yeah. He hadn't pitched in a while.
Started against Georgia State in the TV game we did.
He did. He's had a little tenderness in the arm. Get to this middle of the season. Sometimes the freshmen, you know, haven't thrown as many innings sometimes, and they'll come down. But, gosh, we're not far enough along in the season to have a bunch of sore arms.
1-2, up and out, 2-2.
Well, I used up two score sheets yesterday in that game, and I think I might use up more than that today, the way this thing started. This could be one of those Wake Forest, Virginia Tech tilts.
Base is empty, and it's now full to Levi Michael.
Boy, the game changes quickly in college baseball.
Yes, sir. Three balls, two strikes. One out in the second. Carolina scored seven times. That ball toward the gap in left center, but House has got a beat on it, and Chris will haul it in for out number two.
Got it on the fist a little bit, and he inside outed it to left field. Didn't really get as good a lick on it as you might have thought when it left the bat.
Well, Seager started this business with a double.
Yep.
And a pair of Georgia Tech errors.
Sometimes all that kind of gets lost in a seven-run inning as to who got it started and, you know, sort of what happened early on. All you remember is Ackley's three-run homer. But Seager hit a ball that was about a foot from going out of here. Maybe Tech would have been better off if it had. Sometimes you put men on base, the next play is a routine grounder to short, gets thrown away. If there's nobody out there at second, who knows?
Yep. The 1-0.
Change
it off. Yep, change 1-1. We got to tell you what, the one thing I've noticed this weekend, we got a lot of teams that come through and visit.
Right.
Youth teams, high school teams. There's a chance to visit with some folks from Sand Creek, Michigan earlier today. Grover Hinsdale, the longtime track coach here at Georgia Tech. Well, Grover's been here about as long as you have, Randy. Ooh. 1-2 to Seager.
I wouldn't have said that. He'll be on you tomorrow.
Grover is from Sand Creek, Michigan, and played baseball at Sand Creek High School.
He's the only Sand Creek, Michigan person I know.
1-2. Low, 2-2. Well,
right.
Sand Creek, Michigan's on their way to Florida.
I would be, too.
Playing a tournament.
Because there's not much baseball being played in Sand Creek at the moment.
Right. And so they're on the way to Port Charlotte. They swing by Atlanta and got a chance to visit with Coach Derek Hewitt and his club earlier today. That ball laced by Plagman into right field. Merton will get over and let it go through the wickets again. Here goes Seager. He had a double. This might be three. No, be held. Yep, triple. I thought for a moment Mike Fox might turn him, but.
Wow.
It's a double and an error on Merton.
Seager's got two doubles now, and Merton's got two errors. The error allows him to go around to third.
Three errors in the inning.
I think that's going to be it.
Or four errors in the inning for Georgia Tech.
Four?
Well, they got four on the board.
Huh.
Danny Hall's going to make the change.
Well, they're going to have to tell me where the fourth one was, but Danny Hall's gone to the mound.
Yep. Kevin Jacob done, an inning and two-thirds of work. Thomas Nichols to pitch. When we come back to Atlanta, 7-3 North Carolina, two outs in the second. Our coverage continues after this. You're listening to Georgia Tech Baseball from ISP Sports on 790 The Zone.
Vault presents the epic tale of a man with a thirst for greatness and the only soda powerful enough to quench it. Tell us your story, Rory.
Well, it's mid-August and I'm hauling a few tons of cabbage across the panhandle before it all turns to sauerkraut. I cross into Arizona and the AC gives out. So I popped open a vault and drank it down. Long and the short, cabbage saved. And old Rory's kicking it on cruise control clear across the Oklahoma state line.
You grabbed a vault because you needed a real man's soda. You needed a thirst quencher that gave you more.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice work, Rory. Vault, the world's hardest working soda.
You've been pulling triple duty, and you've got an ornery case of mouth drought. Well, grab some Vault. Vault has all the refreshment and kick you need. So head out to a participating racetrack and pick up a 20-ounce of refreshing Vault for 99 cents. Vault has all the quench with an extra kick for those who get it done and then some.
790 The Zone. We know what guys want.
Well, with two down in the second, North Carolina scored seven times in the frame, and here is Thomas Nichols to pitch. But first, the numbers on Kevin Jacob, 45 pitches. That's 38 in inning two. He went an inning and two-thirds. Right now, seven runs, of which six are earned. Allowed seven hits, a walk, and didn't strike anybody out in 45 offerings. Randy?
Now, the interesting thing, he only threw eight pitches in the first inning. Couldn't get through the second here at hardly at all. Thomas Nichols, 6'1", 190, sophomore out of Leesburg, Georgia, in Lee County High School. Converted to a pitcher this year. He's been in four games, has a 15 ERA, three innings, five hits, five earned runs, three walks, five strikeouts for Nichols. He'll try to get out of the second inning here.
First pitch, wiggled a little bit on the way to Mark Fleury, and he took a crack, 0-1.
Well, Danny Hall and Tom Kinkelard tried to, I guess you might say, put some depth in their pitching staff with Patrick Long and Thomas Nichols, and so we'll see what they've learned here.
Swing and a miss. Oh and two now to Fleury.
Nichols has actually been okay except for the one outing against Rutgers where he pitched two-thirds of an inning, gave up four hits and three runs. Outside of that, against Lipscomb, pitched okay. Georgia Southern, he got a loss, but it was in a very tight game.
Seager at third. Swing and a miss. Coming up empty is Fleury. Leonida didn't get the tag down. Plagman, he came off the bag on the throw. The run will score from third. It's a strikeout. Randy.
Boy, oh boy.
Strikeout and another error.
Strikeout and an error on the throw.
That's the fourth error of the inning on Georgia Tech.
Strikeout, it'll go as a strikeout and a wild pitch. But it's got to be an error on the throw to first base. I mean, I can't imagine that it's not, but we'll see. I mean, a good throw, he's out.
Yeah.
I know that.
Here is Grapel, who's singled.
Well, they're not calling it an error, so I guess I don't know. Strikeout and a wild pitch allowing the runner to score is the way it is scored here. Mercy.
Breaking ball strike.
Nichols has shown a very good breaking ball here early. He's thrown four pitches, three of them for, well, make that five pitches. Four for strikes.
Throw back over to first.
Plagman thought, and I say thought, he had the runner out at first base, but Tony Maynard said no. Plagman thought that he had gotten off the base, got the ball, and tagged the runner. But to tell you the truth, I was so preoccupied with watching the runner come from third, I wasn't sure.
That ball rolled toward Dietrich. He'll play it, throw to second, force out, and it's mercifully come to an end. So Grapel bounces out. Fielder's choice. Knocked down Fleury, 6-4 on the force play for out number three. So he got a strikeout and a force out. Same guy. Carolina scores eight times in the second. Eight runs, six hits, four errors, one left. Ooh. Bottom of the second, 8-3 Carolina. You're listening to Tech Baseball from ISP Sports on 790 The Zone.
Wow. My new bride and everyone's here. This is the best day of my life. Ooh, there was that one day at the bar.
What?
I was watching football and playing Keno. My team won and I won thousands of dollars. Oh, that was the best day of my life. Oh, no, no, honey. Is this going to affect the honeymoon?
Keno! From the Georgia Lottery, win up to $100,000 every 4 minutes. Today could be the day. Please play responsibly.
Be there. Be heard. 90% of Americans over the age of 12 listen to the radio every single week.
That's nearly 270 million people each week.
And they could be listening to your company's ad on the fastest growing and largest sports network in the country.
There is no better or more affluent audience than college sports fans.
And no better value for your marketing and advertising investment than ISP, America's home for college sports.
Call 1-877-4-FANS-ISP.
That's 1-877-432-6747 to get your company's message on the radio today.
790 The Zone. We know what guys want.
And it's now a whole different perspective for Matt Harvey.
Wow.
At one point down 3-0. Now he's ahead 8-3. As we go to the bottom of the second.
Wow. People around the country will look at that score and say, what in the world happened?
Yeah, they will. Well, and as bizarre as yesterday's was finishing, this one is as bizarre starting.
Right. 8-3, top of the bottom of the second inning.
Yep.
And Tech had a three-run cushion going into it. Carolina struck and struck hard, and frankly, Tech couldn't wrap it up in any position.
Here's Roland to start the second. Singled and scored in the first. And Harvey starts with a strike.
Roland's having a good weekend. Had a lot of key hits. Three yesterday.
The 0-1, breaking ball away. The eight runs, and probably goes without saying. It's a season high for Tech in terms of allowed in an inning.
Roland's now 5-for-9 this weekend.
1-1. About to billow the cap, 2-1.
Jeff Rowland's out of Greenbrier High School in Augusta. Pretty much has played every day since walking on the campus as a freshman.
2-1, fouled away.
A year ago, had a terrific freshman season, 335, four homers, 26 RBIs, and stole 22 bases.
Yep.
So he's become a fixture out there in the center field.
2-2. The wind, the pitch. Call strike three at the letters. Fastball. And strikeout number four for Matt Harvey.
There's an alarming trend beginning to develop here for Georgia Tech hitters, in my opinion.
Too many strikeouts.
Well, everybody's gotten out is struck out. As I said, 24 the first 2 days. I mean, you can drive the ball out of the park a lot, but you've got to put the ball in play more often, I think.
One out, and here's Dietrich. Derek looks at one low and away.
I think Roland may have thought that ball was up in the strike zone. He turned and asked A.J., not a big argument, but he just turned and asked him, where was the pitch?
In for a strike, 1-1.
All of a sudden, it's come inside a couple of times, once to Roland for a strikeout and there to Dietrich. He got Dietrich on the inside corner last time.
And the 1-1. Fouled away. 1-2 to Dietrich.
Location is so important from a pitcher. You ask Glavin and Maddox and those guys, and you watch Alec White on Friday night. Yeah, he's got a great arm, but if you can put it right where you want to,
yep,
when hitters are looking for something else, you got a much better opportunity.
Call strike three. Harvey's got it going now. That is four in a row for Harvey. Five total. Two down for Haniger.
All that momentum that you talked about in the first inning has left us.
Gone. Jason, first pitch swinging, foul back. Well, you know, though, it's interesting, and I'm fascinated by the mentality of sports sometimes.
Yep.
Particularly at the collegiate level. Here's the 0-1. Because just about everybody, I mean, there's certain, when you get an elite program or consistently good program playing another consistently good program in any sport, it comes down to intangibles like that.
Yep.
And that's what's born here this week, because, you know, Carolina and Georgia Tech were playing a really good game here on Friday night. Here's the 2-1. Swing and a miss. Clip the end of it into the mid of Fleury, 2-2. So when momentum or something like that kicks in, I think it changes perspective a little bit. And it's interesting to see how a team gets it and the other team loses it, so to speak.
Yep.
And we've seen it happen this game now.
We saw it.
Tech had it early, got it from yesterday, and then Carolina just took it back.
Daniel, we're cruising along last night. Carolina was totally, completely comfortable and confident in that game.
Yep.
And lost it.
3-2. Ball four. Haniger walks. Two-out walk. Number three on the day for Harvey, who has now struck out five as well. So it's 8-3 Carolina, and we're in the second, and they're two down. And here is Plagman, who doubled home and later scored in his own self.